How do you know if you're in a toxic relationship? How do you get out of a toxic relationship? And what were the most toxic relationships we've both been in? We'll be talking about all of that and more on today's episode of Borderline Inappropriate with Merle and Aria.
Well, is it Aria?
Oh, yeah. This is your hair reveal.
Well, hair reveal for the podcast. I'm sure if you follow me on Instagram and the other social media, you've probably seen this out and about for a little bit. But yes, it's the first time seeing it on the podcast. My hair is pink.
It looks so wild just with the blue behind it.
Yes, if you are just listening to the audio podcast, you probably might have to check out the video podcast on YouTube or Patreon
because looks so cool.
you can see the hair. It's very fresh at the time of filming. I just got it done, and so it is the brightest it will be. It's going to fade a little bit, which is kind of what I wanted anyways. I want to like a little pastel.
Looks so good.
It does make me look well.
You look like you could be in GTA.
Like an unhinged GTA character. Yeah, I get it. I definitely get that. Super I'm going for more for the vibe of a, you know, up and coming indie rapper.
Oh, okay.
I have no plans to release a rap album. But hey, with this look, I could.
It's giving Fashion Week. It's giving GTA. That's what I say.
I love that. Thank you for your support, sweetie. I really do appreciate it. I was a little nervous when I came home from the salon because it was a little brighter, a little more hotter pink than I thought it would look. But Merle was very kind about it. I told her to tell me the truth. And she said she liked it.
I forgot that he was getting it done. So when he came out, he's like, I'm back for my hair appointment. And I thought he was just getting a haircut. And his hair was like a highlighter. I was like, whoa.
It is a very specific look, I think.
It's so dope. I love it. It just takes a minute. At first, what did you say?
Yeah, no, I agree. And it took me a minute. I mean, even just getting to the buzz level took a minute for me to kind of...
Right, because it's the length and the color.
Yes, because if you've never watched the video podcast and you actually don't know how I look, prior to this, I had a mullet and I've never had my hair this short before. So in general, just to have a buzz cut. But hey, we're starting off the new year with a lot of fun. And this definitely, you know, I won't lie, when I have this look, plus the tattoos and everything like that, I feel like I can take on the world.
Damn.
I feel like I've been more aggressive.
Are you driving?
Well, yeah, I feel like we were in the car today. I feel like people were pissing me off on the road more than usual. And I don't know if it's the hair, but I feel
the hair is giving you road rage.
Yeah, I felt more ready to confront someone.
GTA.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anyways, on the topic of aggression and the toxic behavior, we are talking about being today in a toxic relationship.
That's a horrible segue.
Well, it is a segue.
I know, but it's just so awful. Speaking of toxic and being trapped.
Yeah, a lot of people have experienced being in toxic relationships to a degree, and Merle and I both have varying degrees of it. I guess I don't want to make it a competition, but I'm curious to see. I think yours was more toxic than mine for different reasons, but we will dive into all that and more. You get all the gossip, but you'll also get hopefully some actually helpful advice as well if you might be in a situation like that you want to get out of. That's the type of stuff we talk about here on Borderline Inappropriate, where every week we dive into these kind of, you know, these uncomfortable conversations, these topics that, you know, we need to just open up, shine a light on and be like, hey, this is life. This is how you deal with these situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Let's talk about toxic relationships, though. So I guess, I mean, the best way to kind of describe what a toxic relationship is, we can just dive right on in and talk about our experiences being in them. But I guess, Merle, what would you describe as a toxic relationship for the most part before going into your experience?
So keep with a grain of salt, like we're just speaking from our experiences and that we are not like professionals. And if you're in a dangerous situation, you would want to seek professional help to get out of that situation. So that's just like a good disclaimer up top.
Absolutely. And I should actually mention that too, that neither of our situations involved physical danger or physical abuse, which obviously a branch of a toxic relationship as well.
Yeah.
Because there are many different ways a toxic relationship can take shape, including ones that really get to severe, can put you in both a lot of physical and also mental danger too.
Yeah. Trigger warning for like manipulation and emotional abuse.
Physical abuse. Well, not in our cases, but obviously that is...
We will be probably touching upon it.
Touching upon it. And so, yeah, we're covering the spectrum as much as we can using our experiences. But of course, yes, do seek a medical professional or a trained professional rather, depending on your situation. We're just using our experiences to talk about this subject. And I will have some advice that I did pull from some research I did online from psychologists about how you can potentially leave the situation. But yes, as far as to what the broad definition of a toxic relationship is, I think it is broad. But yes, well, I guess I'll just go into talking about my toxic relationship and then we can use that as a springboard to discuss toxic relationships. And then you can bring up your experience and how we got out of those situations in case that's potentially applicable for people as far as recognizing the signs in which they might be in a toxic relationship and then how we got out of that might help provide the advice in companionship with the advice that I researched from these psychologists. But yeah, my toxic relationship was, and I feel like this is the case for a lot of people, it was a college relationship. I know yours was as well. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I mean, like when you're younger, you know, maybe you're more willing to put up with things. You know, probably, there's also this the social pressure of not wanting to break up in front of, you know, your peers that you're at school with. I don't know if that's something, not for you really.
Not for me. I think you have a fear of looking like you fail.
That's a very good point. No, absolutely.
That was not a thing for me personally.
Interesting.
Well, that wasn't like, oh, they're going to think I fail. I was like, oh, they want this to fail. They hate this guy.
Well, fair enough. But that's
interesting that that was for you.
Probably. Yeah, no, that definitely was. And I think college, our brains just aren't as fully developed as you are when you're older.
So fucking stupid.
Yeah. But that's why you learn a lot in those years. Let me tell you that.
If you're drunk, I mean, this is in my case, you were drunk most of the days of the week.
Not a lot of, no real alcohol or drugs were involved in my situation, which
I'll
get into.
You didn't stay on campus either.
No, I was at community college. That's true. I was in community college and we lived separately. My toxic relationship was my first actual relationship, like long-term relationship in college. I remember that we had met in an acting class and I was probably like, what? I was 18 at the time. So yes, I was still a teenager. And we eventually would go on a date for, I think I would believe like 3 to 4 years. I would say that makes about sense. 2010 to 2014. Yeah, about 3 to 4 years. And it definitely should not have lasted that long. Like me nowadays, it would have lasted maybe a couple of months.
Oh,
maybe. But you know, I was young. I was naive. But I also want to make it very clear that I'm not putting all the blame on this relationship on her. You know, I do think it takes two to end a relationship. And there is definitely a lot of things I could have handled differently. There are a lot of things I could have said sooner. I could have ended it a lot sooner. But you know, so I am also to blame for the way this relationship went. It was a very toxic situation that both my family and friends were very aware of, but yet I just couldn't get out of it. Maybe it was that, again, like we touched upon.
What made it toxic?
Well, she was very controlling.
You got to paint a picture.
Yeah, I do. I will. Yeah, she was very, very controlling. That was like the main thing. And she would openly fight with me in front of like friends, family. Well, I mean, I think as my communication has gotten better, I'm more able to vocalize my feelings when I'm upset about something. Back then, I always, as you experienced at the start of our relationship, I would always clam up, go into my shell. So it was a lot of it was just her getting angry at me and me just clamming up. And, you know, and it was like my friends knew it. My family knew it. Again, it was never physically abusive or anything like that. But it definitely was a situation where my friends were telling me, you're whipped. They were saying like,
damn,
you know, like you gotta like, you know, this is not a good situation that you're in. And there was a phase in that period when I was like 18, 19, where I was also like to a degree of credit card debt. My grades were suffering and I will blame her for this because, and actually, you know what? I won't even fully blame her because it's my own fault too. Again, she would have me like skip class with her. And the thing is like, I have to take ownership that I could have stayed in class if I wanted to, but I guess a part of me was like, all right, yeah, I'll skip class too. And I remember, and I laughed about this recently with my mom because there is an online community college, online university. I forget what it's called, like University of Southern California, University of South Carolina, something like that. There's online school. And I remember at one point when my grades were really bad, she said, you know what? There are two things that were pretty funny. One thing was that she said, okay, I'm going to go to this school, get my degree online. Like, you know, fuck this community college. I'm going to go to this online university. And I was like, you know, I'm going to do the same. And so there was an ad for it on TV recently. And I filmed it because I remember telling my mom and she's like, you're fucking crazy.
Oh, God.
And then there was another period where I felt like everything was like everything was crumbling around me, which was very dramatic. But, you know, I was in this debt and, oh, she also forced me to adopt a dog.
I was wondering
that was part of the situation too. And so,
You didn't want a dog yet, right?
I didn't want it. I've always loved dogs. I had always wanted a dog, but I was living with my brother and my mother. No, sorry. My brother in an apartment in Santa Monica and the landlord didn't allow dogs. But what happened was that my girlfriend, her younger brother had gotten a little chihuahua that because I guess one of their family friends had a litter or something like that. Are they called litters for dogs? Mm-hmm. Okay, that was just cats. All right. Yes, they had a litter and he got a little puppy one day and she said, oh yeah, you have to come see this other one because I think she probably got a little upset that he got a puppy. And so she took me to see these puppies and they were very, very cute. But I was like, you know, I can't take this dog. She said, no, don't worry. We'll split the ownership. Like you can, like, you know, I'll take care of the dog too. So I said, okay, that's fine. We take the dog back to her parents' place where she was living. And then the mom's like, we're not taking this, we're not letting this dog live with us. We don't have room for it, which is fair enough. You know, they had two other pets to take care of. So I was stuck taking care of this dog now.
Crazy.
And so that was part of my, so I was in credit card debt. I was taking care of a dog that I had to hide from my landlord. My mom found out about it. She was upset and said, you can't do this because what's going to happen is you're going to get your brother kicked out of this apartment and stuff, which made sense.
God.
But in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm now this dog, which I'm of course a little attached to at this point. I'm like, okay, I'm losing my dog now too. And I remember, and then she's talking and she's going, because you know her grades were plummeting too, and well, worse than mine. Like I think she was on academic probation from a community college, which is like, how do you fail out of community college? You know, and I was getting to that point too. By some miracle, I managed to get into a 4-year in Portland, which, and then thankfully things got better. But yeah, so I remember, yeah, I was like, you know, we're going to move to London.
What?
There was a moment where she was telling me like, yeah, we got to get out of here. Like she's one of those people that, well, I guess you don't do this, but you know, there are the American
what?
Irish, you know,
oh.
There's this whole, this is a separate issue, but you know, there are some native Irish people who grew up in the culture, in the country that wouldn't consider American Irish people in the sense that they grew up in the US as actually Irish, even though you're descended from the Irish.
Sure.
My girlfriend at the time, she was one such person who grew up in the US, but she is Irish by blood, of course, but again, I don't want to get into all the nuance of all that. But anyways, she was always like, yes, I'm going to go back to my homeland, which she had never visited before or ever been before.
God.
I'm going to go back to my homeland. I was like, yes, I'm going to go with you. Let's move to London, because I had a French passport. So I was like, you know, I could live there. This was before Brexit. So I thought, okay, it's easy for me to move there. Anyways,
oh
it was a mess.
God.
I was spiraling. So I think I clung to the relationship because as toxic as it was, I felt like, well, at least that's something I had,
oh,
you know?
No.
But it was a bad situation. My parents knew that it was like, they didn't like her. My friends didn't like her. She was controlling about female friends I had. I have, thankfully, you know, we're friends again. We haven't seen each other in a while just because she lives in a different part of LA and LA is very big. So it's hard to see people when they live like in Santa Monica even. But anyways, I was really close friends with this girl, but you know, my ex, she wasn't a fan of that. And she would, so basically I had to cut off that friendship for that period we were together. And thankfully after the relationship ended, you know, I just started hanging out with this girl again and we were friends and we're still friends to this day. You don't know her. I don't hang out with her. I don't think I really hung out with her just because.
Who is she?
But she's great. And she's, you know, we chat every now and then on Instagram, whatever. We're friendly. But at the time, there was a period where I just couldn't be seen with other women, basically. There were two instances that my brother will remember. Is there was one time I took a friend that was visiting him, my brother, and my girlfriend at the time. We went to Solvang, which is a little town outside of LA. Beautiful town. I don't even remember what it was, but my brother definitely remembers her fighting with me the entire drive and me just being, I was, you know, I was very weak. I was like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. You know,
oh, no.
It was definitely one of those situations. Like I always felt like I had to like appease her or like calm her down. Guys, sometimes she wasn't even not necessarily mad about me. She was maybe mad at her mom, but somehow like, so I was always like putting out the fire. And there was another trip. This was close to the end of the relationship where I remember we went to Vegas with my brother. My brother was considering going to the University of Las Vegas. And so he was going to go out there to check out the school anyways. He said, I have a hotel room. Do you want to come? You can bring your girlfriend if you want.
He didn't like her though, right?
He didn't like her, but he was very nice. You know, he was nice.
He's so nice.
He is nice. So he said, you can bring her if you want. And so we went. And I remember like, she's also a serial complainer. And so she was complaining during the drive. And as soon as we got to Vegas, where she had never been before, as soon as she starts seeing Vegas from like the strip as we're driving through it, she's complaining about Vegas. And you know, she hadn't even set foot outside of the car yet, but she was complaining about Vegas, which, you know, like, sure, if you don't like Vegas, I get it.
What a negative Nancy though.
It's negative. And also like my brother was basically paying for this trip. He was paying for the car ride. He paid for the hotel.
And he might be going to school there.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so then there was a lot of fighting about, and then my brother will say he remembers fighting in the car there and back. He was in the back
Why
seat.
Why is he always in the back seat?
He's in the back seat listening to us fight. And it was a bad situation. And by the time I got out of the relationship, it was, thankfully I had, three, 4 years later, I was 22, 23. So I was like, I had matured enough to be like, okay, I need to get out of this situation. In my eyes, I don't know what her perspective of it was, but she had moved to a different part of LA that was further away.
Mm-hmm.
And she was living with her family. And so naturally we started seeing each other a little less. And so that, I think, made it a little easier for me to kind of, you know,
escape,
to escape, you know. And this is, by the way, the woman, the same woman who in our episode about Asian fetishism is the one I said was fetishizing Asian men. If you haven't listened to our episode about fetishization of Asian people, I'm talking about a partner. This is her who, while we were dating, she said, you know what, if we ever break up, you know, I don't think I can not date an Asian man because she, because I don't know, she was something about your culture, your values. Says, all right. And then subsequently after we broke up, you know, she continued to date Asian men. And I don't know if she's in a relationship right now, but if she is, I would assume with an Asian man. That was just another odd quirk to the situation. And so maybe that's why she felt very possessive of me too. I don't know if I should even be flattered. Maybe that I've made her fall in love with Asian men. Great. Good for my fellow Asian. Well, not really. Good, not good for the ones that
you've done. I will say this.
She was young too, so I will give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's grown, you know.
Probably.
We've all grown. So hopefully she's done the work. I mean, I was not a perfect person. I am a perfect person now.
No.
But I wasn't perfect back then. And like, there's so many times I could have spoken up, should have stood up for myself. I should have gotten out of there sooner. So I'm not putting everything on her. And I'm not saying she's the same person she was back then, because I certainly am not. That all being said, this was that person who was the Asian fetishist. So a lot of things on top of it. Oh, one of the things that was very toxic that also was part of the relationship was the fact that not only was she was quick to, you know, attack me verbally and start fights or have like a long face or get upset in person, but also this was during the era of Tumblr. And so she had a Tumblr blog. I had a Tumblr blog, and we followed each other. Obviously we had followed each other before we started dating. And so when I would do something that pissed her off, she would post about it on her Tumblr.
Oh my God.
But she knew obviously that I was going to see it. So there was this constant stream of like passive aggressive or aggressive like posts about my boyfriend's done this. But she knows I'm going to see it. So she's just using that as another way. Like if she's not with me in person to complain about me, she's going to use the internet to complain about me. So I was like, oh boy, that's so
immature.
You know.
But it's also like, I guess that... That's a different age, different time.
Yeah. Well, anyways, yeah. That all being said, it came to a head when she moved to a different part of LA. And for anyone who doesn't live in LA, LA County is huge. And so when someone moves away to a different part of LA, sometimes the commute there can be up to an hour.
Say your farewells.
Yeah, honestly. And
if you live on the west side, it's like, unless you're family.
Yeah, we live like, the west side would be like Santa Monica and stuff for anyone who doesn't know. And so we live like, it's just a different part. You know, if someone moves to like... If you're not over an hour away, you know, like, because then someone has to commit to the traffic. But anyway, she moved to the point where I was seeing her maybe like once a week, maybe once every couple of weeks towards the end of our relationship. And so I think she knew I was like drifting away from her. And I remember it just came to a head where one night she was complaining to me on the phone and she said, well, and she would say this throughout the relationship a few times, like over on Tumblr or on... in person, but she's on the phone. She said, well, if you just want to break up with me, just break up with me. And I said, well,
you're like, well,
and you know what? Yeah. I obviously it's terrible to break up with someone over the phone, but I will.
Whatever.
I will say that. Like, I was like, you know what?
It's on the west side.
She didn't even live in the west side, but that's similarly distance, but yeah, if anything further, but anyways, yes, it's never great to break up with someone over the phone, but you know, I was like, I don't know when I'm going to see this person again. And I might as well just take this opportunity because I was still also in a place where I wasn't still very confident in communication. So I was like, I'm just going to take this opportunity. I said, yeah, you know, I think we should break up. And she said, what? Very, very, as it goes.
When you put it out there, you have to be prepared for both outcomes.
Yeah. I think she was ready for me to fold as I had done for the previous 3-4 years. She didn't take the breakup very well at all. And I remember one of the things she did was she went to Tumblr. And one of the things she posted on Tumblr, like she was going a bit unhinged on Tumblr. She was posting a lot of stuff about being upset about this. And she said, I remember her posting something about like, wouldn't it be funny if I just went over to his apartment and set it on fire? Ha 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 ha.
Oh, God.
I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it was
scary.
That was scary. And then I told her, I messaged her. I said, what are you doing?
That's what
brother.
That's what she wanted, I bet.
No, she knew. Yeah, she wanted me to, she knew, again, as always with the Tumblr, she knew I was going to see it. And so she wanted a reaction from me. But
that's when you block.
Yeah, and I think I'd mentioned it to my brother. I said, oh, look, this thing she posted. And he was like, that's crazy. And so I was like,
I live here too. What the fuck? First this dog, now the fuck?
Yeah.
No, an arsonist?
Yeah. So that was one thing she did. And then also, so then I got into my next relationship. I actually got into my next relationship pretty quickly after that, which probably upset her even more. And that relationship was the one that I always say I've mentioned in the past is a very healthy one. We're still on great terms. And that was a very healthy relationship in the sense that, you know, as healthy as a relationship that ends can be.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got into the relationship, you better believe that she tracked down the information of my then girlfriend. So she found out the Starbucks that my then girlfriend, my new girlfriend worked at, and she would call and she put in false complaints saying, you know, such and such did this, like trying to get her fired. Thankfully, my new girlfriend's bosses were aware of the situation. And so they were like, okay,
what a fucking...
It was crazy. It was wild.
That's toxic.
Yeah.
Leading up to this, honestly, I was thinking maybe it was just like an unhealthy relationship. And then you talk about the arson threats and then the like harassing your new girlfriend and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh.
I mean, yeah. And the thing is, like, these are things I'm just remembering now. This
right,
is 10
right,
years
right,
ago.
Right.
So there was a lot more stuff happening
at
the time.
Control, too.
Controlling, I think, is definitely an element of a toxic relationship. And again, it was so bad enough to the point where, again, my parents, my mom specifically, and my brother, because they saw the brunt of it, they will still bring it up to this day. Like, wow, remember that crazy relationship you're in? Yeah. Because at the time, and like they, I'm sure it was very frustrating for me because they would vocalize it as best they can. But I think they definitely did not like her and wanted me out of that relationship. But
they're
probably frustrated that I was not getting out of it, which might be the situation for a lot of people in toxic relationships. Your friends and family are like, God, when will this? When will you wake up? Exactly, and so. Yeah, it was a rough situation. And again, I take ownership for the fact that I could have left a lot sooner. You know, I think that's what it was too. I think I was always fearful that I knew that there was going to be a reaction like that. I knew there was no way that the relationship was going to end
peacefully.
There was a period, and I'll give her credit for this. There was a period where we actually took a very short break in the middle of our relationship because she wanted to focus on her mental health.
Oh.
But even during that period, so I do give her credit for that. But even during that period, when we were on the break, I started talking to someone else.
Jesus, you don't waste any time, do you?
Well, hey, I was in college, you know? But anyway,
God forbid you reflect on yourself as well.
Yeah, that's why I take some blame too. And she wasn't happy about that either.
Well, that's not surprising. We were on a break.
Yeah, but yeah. So again, I take ownership for, you know, there are different ways I could have handled the situation too, but
it's
a two takes two to tango, they say.
But if you felt like scared to leave, then that's toxic.
I definitely was scared to leave. Yeah, that's plain and simply, I was scared to leave because I knew there was going to be a reaction like that. I knew there was never going to be a good way of it going down. And I think I was scared of the fallout. And I think maybe when she finally moved away far enough, I was like, she can't do anything to me. That she's far enough away now that I can end this thing.
Oh my God.
Because maybe she won't make
sad.
The drive over.
She can only hurt you via Tumblr.
Via Tumblr, yeah. But yeah, that was...
Damn, that's scary.
I genuinely hope that she's doing well. And I mean, like I said, it was 10 years ago. I hope that just like me, you know,
must have killed her to see you on the rise.
Hardly a rise, but yes. I don't know. The thing is, like, because I genuinely don't know what her whereabouts, what she's doing now. And so I like to think that she doesn't really care.
But I'm about to check. I'm about to look both ways before I cross the street.
Yeah, the track record shows that she's listening. She's a Patreon.
Oh my God,
subscriber.
No!
She's on our Patreon.
If you get anywhere near me or Lucille or Genevieve, it's over.
Oh boy.
This is going to be a weird situation. I have not talked about this in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it took place when I was 19 years old. So I was started as a sophomore in college. And college was like when I became hot to other people. Because I was growing into myself, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was becoming more confident.
A beautiful woman.
And I was first time, like I was, you know, out on my own as you are in college, whatever. And so I had a whole single season in my freshman year post like breakup of my first boyfriend. And so I was like kind of feeling my oats and, you know, I was like confident and I was excited and I felt like I could kind of like do whatever. And I had a great group of friends I'm still friends with. And we just all like took the night by storm, you know, constantly. We were going out, we were having fun. And I just remember I met this guy at a college party. He was wearing a flannel shirt. And I was like, I don't know, something about his flannel shirt feels safe. I don't know. And so anyway, we started talking and he and I don't know. I feel like I had this effect on him that was like, he found me really exciting. And I thought that, you know, that feels good when somebody's like fascinated by you. And anyway, he seemed like a really nice guy. Like unlike the boys I dated actually there's only one I dated in high school and it was after I graduated. But unlike the boys I knew and had crushes with on in high school and even in freshman year, I was like, this guy like wants to take me on dates. I'd like never been taken on dates. This guy wants to like bring me flowers. He just kind of fell into it. And I felt like I was really being romanced for the first time.
Mm.
So I had this sense of comfort and it felt like this is my first grown up relationship. Even though I had been so in love with my first boyfriend, I was like, no, this is different. This is like adult. And anyway, one thing I will say, I'll say a few things, but one thing I'll acknowledge fully about myself. I was such a wild child. I was very proud of my body. I was very proud of myself. I was very confident and like, I loved to go out. So even if I was in a relationship, I was like, I'm still going to go out and I'm going to wear what I want. I'm going to be out and about. I'm going to be on the town.
I mean, even in the early stages of our relationship, you were still going out and about.
Yeah.
Not I was like, with people, but just still going out.
Never cheating or anything like that. But I just felt like I had the perfect balance of my own independence with my friends and this great guy who was treating me like a queen, basically. And I remember he would like surprise me. Like I went home for winter break. He surprised me by just showing up at my mom's. Oh. Like I woke up in the morning and he was there,
cried,
which was nice. I was really happy. And then he took me to PF Chang's.
Ooh, fancy.
I was like, wow, this is living. It was like really, really fun. And all my friends thought he was so cute. And they were like, oh my God, Merle, he's so hot. Like, and that, you know, your ego, you feel it. I was like, I got a good one. He's like good to me. He's a good looking guy. And he's smart. Anyway, so I'm in this love place. We started dating second half of sophomore year. At the beginning of junior year, everyone was moving into their dorms. And he had told me that he was going to come help me move in. I was like, oh my God, yay. I can't wait to see him. I get there with my stepdad, Bob, and my mom, and they're like starting to move me in, and he's just not there. I was like, hey, I'm like texting him. I'm like, where are you? And no answer. He doesn't respond. And so it's like 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by, I hear nothing from him. I'm just like, that's so weird. Like I told, you know, my mom, my stepdad, they were going to see him and like, they know him, like they were excited to see him, but this is just really weird. So I'm like worried. I'm like, is he okay? So they leave. I go back to my dorm room and I'm like settling in and I call him. I'm like, finally he answers the phone. He's just like, hey, what's up? And I was like, hey, like you said you were gonna move me in. What happened? And he's just like, I don't have time. He's like, don't you understand? Like I have a lot of work coming up. Like I don't have time to be moving you all day. I was like, okay, that's totally different. Total tonal shift. Like it already felt like I was talking to someone completely different. I was like, wait, what? You know, like, wait, just weird. Just a weird thing to pretend you didn't agree to already do. Mm-hmm. That was the first warning. That was the first day everything changed. And so after that, I'm like, you know, whatever. Okay, fuck you then. I guess I'm going to like go hang out with my friends. So we go out, hang out with my friends. I don't know what happened. I don't know if something snapped in his brain. I don't know what it was. But something changed and I felt a total shift. Like the guy who was like getting up and making me breakfast and wanted me to stay over all the time and like wanted to take me out was totally different. And so I did a thing I'm not proud of and I went through his phone and I saw he was texting his ex-girlfriend. And so naturally I'm like, what the fuck? You're flirting with your ex-girlfriend. And he's like, ends up, like, I remember as being outside and me crying and, like, storming around a fountain that there was on campus. And he, like, picked me up and put me on his back. And he was like, no, you're going to listen. He's like, you have to listen to me. And so he's, like, holding me on his back. Like, he's like, listen. Carry? Kind of. Well, no, like a piggyback ride. He's like, listen, I need you to listen to me. And so he's, like, marching around with me on his back.
What are you doing?
I was, like, crying on his back, I guess. But I was also, like, kind of happy that he, like, wanted to fight to talk to me.
That is an element of it.
Yeah. And so, anyway, so I was like, maybe this is romantic, too. I don't know.
Hey, when you're young, yeah.
Yeah, I was 19. So, anyway, but bottom line is, he was like, I need to sort out my feelings with my ex. I just have something unresolved, and it's so distracting, and that's why I've been acting weird. He's like, I'm going to go this weekend, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. He's like, I just need to just get closure with her and just sort this out once for all, bury the hatchet. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, like, you know, this is the guy that I want to be with. And he's being honest after I went through his phone. So he leaves for the weekend. He goes to meet up with his ex. I like don't really talk to him that weekend. He comes back and he's like,
it's been a long weekend for you.
It was a very long weekend. Yeah. And I was just like on the edge of my seat. I'm like, oh my God, is he going to like go there and then realize he's still in love with her? Yeah. What the fuck do I do? And all my friends are like, Merle, this is ridiculous. Like, get out of that situation. Like, he was cute and all, but like, come on. Like, you deserve someone that's going to choose you first. First of all, but they were also supportive. It's like, how much can you do? So they were there for me. I think they just got me really drunk and we went out. But I was really upset. So he comes back and he's like, I don't know what got to me. He's like, I saw her. There's nothing there. I'm sorry. I freaked out. I'm glad that I did that. I'm sorry you found out this way. He's like, I just got confused. And so I'm like, okay, well, all right, that's fine. Then I guess like I will take you at your word. Let's move forward. Let's put this behind us. And then I'm thinking, oh, that explains all his weird behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, why he was pulling away and why he just like blew me off. Unfortunately, a pattern of behavior developed, which was he became very, and there were things going on in his life. His parents were splitting and he was about to graduate college and kind of felt lost, I think. And I'm not justifying this behavior. I'm just mentioning those things to give a whole well-rounded picture. But he lived in the basement of his house with his other roommates. He started becoming very attached to his iPad and he would just sit in the basement on his bed, on his iPad for hours. He would invite me over to like hang out. I would come over and all the roommates would be like, hey, Merle, what's going on? So good to see you. Cause we would all hang out. And I would get there and they'd be like, where's so-and-so, by the way? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He invited me over here. And they'd be like, oh, is he home? I'm like, I'm assuming because he told me to come over. And they're like, oh, he must be in his room. This would be every time. I would come over. I would go down to see him. I would go into his room. He'd say hello. And then I would sit at the foot of his bed and he would be on his iPad or on his laptop, not talk to me. And I would just be sitting there and I'd be like, so how's your day? What's going on? And it would be like, it's fine. You know, everything's fine. And I'd be like, what's wrong? And he'd be like, no, nothing's wrong. I'm just got a lot to do. And I'd be like, okay, well, you invited me over. Like, why am I here? He'd be like, well, we're spending time together. Like, what do you want? Like, I have stuff I got to do, but like, we're hanging out. I was like, what the fuck? How did we get from P.F. Chang's to this? Yeah. And so it was confusing because he'd say he wanted me to be there. And when we were texting, he acted like everything was totally normal. But as soon as I was there in person, it was shut down. And like, I felt like such a nuisance. But if I left, it was like, oh, okay, you're leaving. Oh, you're gonna leave? What, are you gonna go out now? Like, go out with your friends? Go out and like flirt with other people? Go out and flirt with other guys or whatever? And I was like, I'm just trying to spend time with you. But every time I come here, there's a wall between us. It's your fucking iPad. And so it just progressed that way. And eventually, even his roommates were like, we don't know what's going on with him. We don't know what's up. Like, we don't know what's happening. And so I started to get a little unhinged because I felt like I was losing my mind. And when I would pull away from him, he would hold on so tight. He'd be like, no, no, I'm so sorry. I'm just going through so much. I'm having a hard time figuring out like what I'm doing with my life and what's going on with me. I'm about to graduate and I'm panicking. And I was like, okay. But you know, you don't have to spend all day searching for jobs like while I'm here. You can break it up. And he'd be like, you're right. I'm sorry. This just kept continuing. And my self-worth was like dropping because I'm just like, why aren't I enough to get this guy to just realize like, hello, like you've got something really good here. I'm willing to support you. What's going on? Eventually, you know, it got progressively worse and my self-confidence got progressively worse and I started going out more and then he would get jealous. And I think he like called me a slut one time. He was like, what I was wearing was inappropriate. And again, I'm not saying my behavior was perfect. When I was drunk, I'd get really emotional and I'd be really upset and be like, you know, what the fuck are you even doing? Like, what are we doing? This is a disaster. This is a mess. And it was just falling apart and I could feel it falling apart. But then like the once in a while times when we connected, it felt so nice. And I was like, okay, like it's back. Like we got it back. Thank God, you know, like I'm helping him through this hard time. And so we'd have like a really good day, but then we'd have a really bad week. And then we'd have like a really good hour. And then it would just be another month of me coming over and being ignored. And eventually just going upstairs and spending time with his roommates. And we broke up and got back together and broke up and got back together. I finally broke up with him and I was so devastated. I was so sad. I remember being like, I'm never... Like, this was so good and like, it's hard for me to even believe that now, mm-hmm. that I thought this was so good, but I did. It just felt like there was nothing else out there. I was like, I'm never going to feel this way again. I'm never going to find someone who takes me to PF Chang's or out on dates. I was 19. So it just felt like, you know, this was your chance at like romance. This guy who's like treating you like a woman, or at least was. And I'm like, I fucked it up somehow. I was going out too much, or like, you know, I didn't keep his interest, or whatever it was, I was doing something wrong. He ended up reaching back out to me and being like, listen, I want to get back together. I've had time to reflect. And we just did that over and over and over again, until even my friends were like, Merle, what is going on? Like, you're not acting like yourself. You're not spending time with us. You spend all your time in the basement with this guy who doesn't even talk to you. And like, we feel like we're losing you. And I remember talking to my grandmother, Nan, my dad's mom. And I was like, I'm like so frustrated and I'm so confused and I don't know what's going on. And she just like listened to me rant and rant and rant for like 20 minutes. And I remember her just being like, you know, you got to find your way out of this situation. You got to find yourself out of this somehow. But I think she kind of knew there was nothing she could say at the mm-hmm. same time. So my grades started slipping and I was like drinking too much and I just kind of hated myself. Like, I really was miserable. And it got to the point where I would do almost anything to stay in the relationship. And one night he came, one night I was sick. I was really sick. And I had like the flu or something. I was really ill. And he had come back and he wanted to go out for once. He's like, I'm going to live it up. Like, it's I need to get out and spend time with my roommates before I graduate. And I was like, go ahead. Like, I'm sick. I can't go with you. And he's like, fine. If you don't want to like come out, whatever, I'm going. I was like, good, go ahead. I can't do anything anyway. I'm sick. And so I did this thing that was really dumb. We used to tape our doors. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd put a piece of tape in the thing so we didn't have to use our keys. It was so stupid, but we used to do that.
Like card keys to get into buildings?
A key. Oh. Like the room to our dorm room. We would put tape over it so you just push it open.
Oh.
Really stupid.
That is so stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went to bed. I fell asleep early, like 8 p.m. And I woke up in the middle of the night with a person on top of me. And in the complete darkness. And so I just wake up and there's like someone on top of me, like all of their weight on top of me. And so I was like, get off me, get the fuck off me, like get the fuck away from me. And I was alone in my room. My roommate wasn't staying in there that night. So I'm like yelling. I was like, get the fuck off me. And the person just like jumped off and ran out the door. And I fell back to sleep. Cause again, I was really sick. I had like a fever. I had been ill all like for a few days. I fell back to sleep and then I woke up and I was kind of like, is that a dream? Like, yeah. Was that just a fucking horrible nightmare, terror or something? I go to breakfast and I see my ex-boyfriend there. We were dating at the time. And I go to get breakfast with him and his friend. And we're like sitting at the table. I was like, I had the weirdest thing happen last night. And I think, I don't know if it was a dream, but I think it was real. I was like, somebody must have been drunk. And they just came into my dorm room and just hopped onto my bed on top of me. And he had been like doing the attitude thing again and just like totally ignoring me that morning. But I was like, maybe this will get his fucking attention. And he just goes, that was me.
Why didn't you say that at the time, that night too?
Great question. I said that to him. I said, what do you mean that was you? I was like, you're the person who jumped on me in the middle of the night while I was sleeping. And he goes, yeah, that was me. And I was like, well, why didn't you tell me it was you? Mm-hmm. And he was like, because you told me to fuck off. He's like, you told me to get the fuck out. So I got the fuck out. And I was like, I thought you were someone who was about to attack me. Like, I didn't know who you were. It was pitch black in the middle of the night. I had been sleeping. Like, I didn't know who you were. So then he was so mad at me that I had sworn at him and told him to get out. And then somehow twisted, which I look back at what he did and I'm like, I don't know what he was doing. But whatever he was doing was not good, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he thought that would be a fun surprise. I don't know if he had something else in his mind. I don't know. I have no idea. But it was fucking weird behavior. And to not tell me who it was even weirder. And then to be mad at me was crazy. So this was like the worst it got. Like, this was just our toxic shit. I wish I could say that I like found it within myself to get out of the relationship. But unfortunately, there was an incident where I was very drunk and he was at the library and I had told him it was over because I was fed up with what I had just explained. And then when I was drunk, I regretted it and I wanted to get back together. I literally went to the library or something where he was working, or like the computer lab where he was working. And I like pounded on the glass window crying. I had like makeup running down my face and he was so embarrassed and mad at me.
In that case, a little understandably.
Oh, that case, I looked terrifying. I was scary. But I'll never forget some woman. There was a woman in her 40s or something that was going to college where I went. And she was outside and she saw me. And she was like, hey, why don't you come sit with me for a little while? And she like talked me down and like was really nice. But I was like, that's where I was at. I was losing it a little bit. And then my cousin came to visit me and he made out with someone right in front of me. So that was a week after that happened. And he like made out with someone who was a mutual, like who I also knew in front of me while my cousin was there. And then I begged him to take me back afterwards.
Yeah, that's part of the toxic thing, right? It's like,
yeah. I remember like sitting in his car with him and I was like sobbing. And he had written me a letter that I still have that was basically like, this needs to end. This is not good for you. I don't want to make you cry anymore. And as he's like telling me this, after he'd made out with someone in front of me, done all this shit, I still begged him to like to take me back. I was like, please, please, like we can figure this out. But he ended it, thank God. But he also graduated. So, you know, I'm not saying all my behavior was great. It certainly wasn't. But I think it was the not knowing why the behavior changed. And it was like me not understanding why he went from like doting on me and making me feel super special and like really unique and powerful to making me feel like nothing I did was right and that I was so boring to be around that he couldn't even get off of his fucking iPad when I was there. It was a really dark time, for sure. And none of my friends could get me out of it.
I mean, I get that element of it. I, you know, like I said, my own family and friends also couldn't get me to leave the relationship for such a long period of time. So, but that's part of the whole thing, right? It's like, that's what makes it toxic, you know? Like, you know, our yeah. stories don't involve, thankfully, in our case, you know, like any like extreme, like, you know, no physical abuse or anything like that. But, you know, it's still, especially when you're that young, like you, like that for some people, that might do permanent damage to their self-confidence, self-esteem, you know? So, yeah, not great.
No, I mean, also like in both of our situations, basically the people we were dating gave us our out.
Yeah. That's true.
Yours literally said, break up with me, even if they didn't mean it. And yeah. Mine would not accept me begging them back.
So if anything, one of the things to take away from that is the fact that, you know, we definitely sympathize with anyone who struggles to get out of a toxic relationship. Because mm-hmm. in a way, like,
it feels like there's no way out.
Feels like there's no way out. You know, like in many ways, I sometimes wonder if she hadn't brought it up to me, how much longer would I have dated her? If she had not said to me, why don't we break up then? Mm-hmm. How much longer would I have been with her? I don't know.
I know.
I like to think not much sooner, not much longer, but can't say. I mean, I was in there for that long already to begin with.
Yeah. So I guess we should talk about like what makes...
Yeah.
How do you know if you're in a toxic relationship?
These are insights from Kelly Campbell, PhD, who is an associate professor of psychology and human development. So, you know, reputable, more reputable than us as far as kind of the, you know, psychology when it comes to this. But yes. So in their minds, these are the signs that you're in a toxic relationship. You feel like you're always walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. To quote them, the person you are with is unpredictable and could get upset at a drop of a hat. All right, this is for the both of us there. So you constantly monitor what you say, how you say it, and when to say it to avoid rocking the boat. The second thing is you are investing a lot in terms of time, emotions, and money, and getting little in return. Their quote, healthy relationships should not be one-sided. Although sometimes people carry the burden for a period of time, such as when a partner is ill, this should not be something that continues indefinitely. Next one, your partner holds you back. In a healthy relationship, partners celebrate each other's successes and mold each other into their ideal selves, which is a concept known as the Michelangelo phenomenon.
Never heard
of that before, but that's cool. This is just quoting her. If you notice that your partner is jealous, competitive, and generally unhappy when you're doing well, then that's a huge red flag. You lack independence. If your partner needs to know where you are at all times, calls or texts constantly while you're apart, goes through your phone or computer, manages and restricts your finances, or engages in other obsessive and controlling behavior, the relationship is likely toxic, Campbell says. And this one applies to you most. The next one, your sense of self-worth has dramatically declined since the beginning of the relationship. To quote Campbell, if this is the case, then you should examine the extent to which your partner has contributed to that outcome. Do they put you down, criticize you, judge you, disrespect you, or ignore you? Those are some ways of identifying that you're in a toxic relationship. So if you hear that and you feel you might be in that situation, you know, maybe that's something to consider. And if you are considering leaving a toxic relationship, this is their advice in how to get out of one. What they say is, first and foremost, if you have access to therapy, that's obviously highly recommend you get professional help. But firstly, their first piece of advice is talk to your partner about what is bothering you, which kind of makes sense, I guess. Like maybe, you know, maybe it's something you can talk about. I feel like in a lot of toxic relationships, it's hard to talk about these things to begin with. But this is the first step, I guess. First step of many. But first step is talk to your partner about what is bothering you. And I quote, if they are willing to see a therapist, then go to counseling together. However, if you get the necessary help and find the same patterns being repeated over and over again, you should consider ending the relationship. Two, tell trusted family members and friends about the situation, including that you plan to leave. You may need a place to stay when you end the relationship, and people in your social network could help provide that stepping stone. At the very least, they can offer social and emotional support. Three, work on your self-esteem. Engage in activities that you value, including exercise and time with loved ones. These activities will boost your self-esteem. And I think in a case like yours, where your self-esteem was in the drain, like that sort of stuff, I'm sure your friends will actually also, as much as they may have not been able to get you out of there, I'm sure having them was probably very helpful. Maybe you didn't even recognize it at the time, but you know.
My friend Justin came over with a huge handle of rum after our like final, or somewhere in the middle, I can't remember, but he came over and watched the Poughkeepsie tapes with rum with me.
We love Justin.
Yeah.
Four is save money. Try to put away as much money as possible to prepare for the eventual end of the relationship. Now, obviously, this is probably more if you're living with your partner, for example, or you're married to them. But, you know, maybe even the case where you're not, you know, maybe you want to use that money to splurge yourself on a little trip for yourself after the relationship. Who knows? But anyway, save money is the next piece of advice. If your partner has been violent and or has threatened you, keep records of every instance and consider getting a restraining order against them. Obviously, this is for the more extreme cases, but those cases are very, unfortunately,
they're very common.
Very common. They're extreme, but common, sadly. But yes, restraining orders give officers the right to search the person if the order is violated, which is important for keeping the targeted person safe. That's the quote. Lastly, leave and cut off all communication, which is what you were saying I should have done, which is block on the Tumblr and everything like that. But
it's hard to do.
To quote Dr. Campbell, continuous exchanges can prolong the healing process. I mean, even just for a normal breakup, people do say to go no contact. So especially in a toxic one, I can see why this is very applicable. But yes, continuous exchanges can prolong the healing process. Sometimes it is impossible to cut off all communication, such as when children are involved, which is true. In those cases, keep the communication direct and minimal. Discuss what you must and nothing more. After some time has passed, if both people heal and change their ways, a friendship may be possible. But right after breakup, don't try to be friends and definitely don't engage in any flirting or sexual activity with that person. Mm. Last but not least, how do you then recover from a toxic relationship? This doctor, great, a lot of advice, which is we appreciate. And thanks to brides.com for providing this advice. they were quoting the doctor. But yes, first step to healing after a toxic relationship, according to this to Dr. Campbell, is spend time with people who love you and who build you up rather than tear you down. You can also spend time with animals, since they also provide a good model of unconditional love and help alleviate loneliness. Yeah. They can also get you out into nature and interacting with others. Pick up some hobbies that you either used to enjoy or always wanted to try. Hobbies not only boost self-esteem, but they can provide a good place to meet new partners when the time is right. Work on yourself before getting into another relationship. With toxic relationships, this is a quote, a person often loses themselves. It can take time to get in touch with who they are and to heal from the damage caused by their relationship. Mm. Great advice from Dr. Campbell. And of course, there's a lot more advice out there. And of course, if you are in a situation, especially one that is, it puts you in a dangerous place, I would obviously then try to seek more professional help. Again, as Merle said at the top, we are not experts. We're just
we can link hotlines.
Yes, absolutely. We'll link them in the description below for
resources in the description. Because it is no joke. I mean, even though our situations, thankfully, were not physical, they can get there. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that they would have, either one of these. And, you know, again, I sympathize with people in toxic relationships because I know how it feels when you, even though every like part of your body and your mind knows I have to get out, this is not working, there's still just some part of you that's like, but I can't leave. And it's like, I'm never going to find this again. But then you realize the thing that you're afraid of losing is already gone. You know, and it's been gone for a long time, but you want it to come back because you feel like you can only get it from that person, but that's not true. It's just not true. I wish I could give myself a hug back then. Don't get me wrong. Clearly from my library demonstration with the glass and, you know, me showing up drunk. I wasn't always perfect, but I didn't deserve to be treated that way. And I know that. And I knew it then. I was trying to believe that I didn't deserve better than that situation, which is hard to understand now, 10 years later.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
but
that was a good, that was a little jaunt down memory lane for the both of us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really grateful that I'm not in that situation anymore. And we should both be proof that you can be in those really dark places and people are in much darker places. But at the end of the day, any relationship that is making you feel less like yourself or making you feel trapped is not a relationship that you need to be in. Because as bad as you feel now, or as bad as you think you're going to feel, and you will feel for a little bit after it ends, the pros way outweigh the cons. You know, you just have to know you're going to be sad for a while. It's going to be hard. You're going to be a little lost. But you're setting yourself up for something so much better, you know?
Yeah. And these experiences, as bad as they are, they're going to be learning experiences that you can take into future relationships and, you know, allow you to have healthy relationships moving forward. And I think everything Merle said there was absolutely correct. So I don't have much to add. The only other thing I would say is, and this is advice that the younger me would have hated to hear in that situation, but do listen to your family and friends. If multiple people that care about you and love about you are pointing something out, there's a reason why multiple people that love you are saying this, you know?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the times they can see things that you don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I know it feels like the love you get from that person is like the most important thing, but that is what it feels like. It's like, oh my God, spending time with my friends and my family, it's not going to replace that. It's like, it's not going to replace that, but it can heal you. Like, you know,
I'm very grateful for my family and my friends for caring enough to call me out at the time. And I do apologize that I wasn't quite as, I didn't reciprocate their concerns as well as I could have. But hey, that's life. You live and learn. And hopefully from our lessons here, our stories rather, you can take some learning lessons for yourself and apply it. But this has been another episode of Borderline Inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you all for your time. As always, please make sure to share your experiences in the comments. Leave us your thoughts, you know, what your advice might be.
Inspiring words for other people that are in toxic relationships.
It's a very, sadly, a common thing for people to be in these type of relationships. And so I'm sure people listening have been in these situations. And if you're in one and you need people to talk to people in this community, you know, to be a part, engage in the comments, the Patreon community too. We're here as well. And we do always read the comments and we're happy to, you know, give advice where we can. But either way, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being here. Leave a like, subscribe if you haven't, follow, leave a review, all that fun stuff. It's a very heavy episode, I feel. So it's hard to kind of pick things back up, but just know we appreciate you. We love you dearly, and we will see you next week for another episode.
You deserve the best.
You really do.